Love language number 4, acts of service.
When Jim pointed to his wife Janice's cooking, laundering, and ironing of his clothes as proof that she loved him, Jim's primary love language was obvious. His wife speaks to him through love language number 4, which I call acts of service. By acts of service, I mean doing things you know your spouse would like you to do. You seek to please them by serving them, to express your love for them by doing things for them. Such actions as cooking a meal, setting a table, washing dishes, vacuuming, cleaning a commode, getting hairs out of the sink, taking out the garbage, changing the baby's diaper, painting the bedroom, dusting the bookcase, keeping the car in operating condition, mowing the grass, dusting the blinds, and changing water in the goldfish bowl are all acts of service. They require thought, planning, time, effort, and energy. If done with a positive spirit, they are indeed expressions of love. I discovered the impact of acts of service in the little village of China Grove, North Carolina. China Grove sits in central North Carolina, originally nestled in chinaberry trees, not far from Andy Griffith's legendary Mayberry, and an hour and a half from Mount Pilot. At the time of this story, China Grove was a textile town with a population of 1,500. I'd been away for more than 10 years, studying anthropology, psychology, and theology. I was making my semi-annual visit to keep in touch with my roots. For most couples in China Grove, life centered on work at the mill and church. I was standing under a chinaberry tree after church on Sunday when Mark and Mary approached me. I didn't recognize either of them. I assumed they had grown up while I was away. Introducing himself, Mark said, "I understand you've been studying counseling." I smiled and said, "Well, a little bit." "I have a question," he said. "Can a couple make it in marriage if they disagree on everything?" It was one of those theoretical questions that I knew had a personal root. I brushed aside the theoretical nature of his question and asked him a personal question. "How long have you been married?"
2 years, he responded, "and we don't agree on anything."
"Give me some examples," I continued, and Mark did. He went hunting or fishing most Saturdays. Mary didn't like either sport. He attended church Sunday morning, but didn't go Sunday evenings. "It's all right if she wants to go," Mark explained, "but I don't think I ought to have to go." Mary wanted to go all the time and wanted Mark at her side, and she began to correct Mark, saying while he would let her go, he would complain every time she left for church. I knew that things weren't supposed to be getting this hot under a shade tree in front of a church. As a young aspiring counselor, I feared that I was getting in over my head, but having been trained to ask questions and listen, I continued. "What other things do you disagree on?" This time Mary answered.
"He wants me to stay home all day and work in the house. He gets mad if I go to see my mother or go shopping or something."
"I don't mind her going to see her mother. But when I come home, I like to see the house cleaned up, you know? I mean, some weeks she doesn't make the bed for up to 3 or 4 days, and half the time she hasn't even started supper. I mean, I work hard, you know? I like to eat when I get home. Besides that, the house is a wreck. I mean, the baby's things are all over the floor, the baby's dirty. I don't like filth, I'm sorry. I mean, she seems to be happy to live in a pig pen, and we don't have very much. We live in a small house, but at least it could be kept clean, you know?"
"Well, what's wrong with his helping me around the house? I mean, he acts like a husband shouldn't do anything around the house. All he wants to do is work and go hunting. He expects me to do everything. I mean, he even expects me to wash his car."
Thinking that I had better start looking for solutions rather than prying for more disagreements, I began asking each of them about what they did when Mark was dating her. Mark told me he went hunting most Saturdays, but made a point of getting home in time to go see her on Saturday night. Mary told me Mark visited her almost every afternoon during her senior year of high school. He came in the afternoon and would often stay and have supper with Mary's family. Mary remembered that many times he would help her do the chores around the house, and then we'd sit and talk until supper time, Mary told me. Mary also remembered during the courtship that Mark often helped her to complete school projects, which sometimes required hours. It was clear she appreciated and missed those joint projects. I asked Mark if he went to church with Mary on Sunday nights when they were dating. Of course, he replied. Mary's father had a rule. If Mark didn't go to church with her, he couldn't see her that night. But Mark also seemed to enjoy the activities they did at church, at least according to Mary. She recalled their working together on the set for the Christmas program at the church.
We spent about 2 weeks working together on that. You know, he really is talented when it comes to painting and building sets.
When you were dating Mark, what convinced you that he really loved you? What made him different from other guys you dated?
Well, it was the way he helped me with everything. He was so eager to help me. None of the other guys ever expressed any interest in those things, but I don't know, it seemed natural for Mark. He even helped me wash dishes when he had supper at our house. He was the most wonderful person I had ever met. But after we got married, that all changed. He didn't help me at all.
Turning to Mark, I ask, why do you think you did all those things for and with her before you were married?
I don't know. It just seemed natural for me, I guess. You know, it's what I would want someone to do for me if she cared about me.
And why do you think you stopped helping her after you got married, I ask?
Well, I guess I expected it to be like my family. Dad worked. You know, Mom took care of things at the house. I never saw my dad vacuum the floor or wash the dishes or do anything around the house. I mean, since Mom didn't work outside the house, she kept everything spotless. You know, it was her job, cooking, washing, ironing. I guess I just thought that was the way it was supposed to be.
Hoping that Mark was seeing what I was seeing, I asked, Mark, a moment ago, what did you hear Mary say when I asked her what really made her feel loved by you when you were dating?
Helping her with things and doing things with her.
So you can understand how she could feel unloved when you stopped helping her with things. His head was bobbing up and down. I continued, it was a normal thing for you to follow the model of your mother and father in marriage. Almost all of us tend to do that. But your behavior toward Mary was a radical change from your courtship. The one thing that had assured her of your love disappeared. Then I turned to Mary and asked, what did you hear Mark say when I asked, why did you do all those things to help Mary when you were dating?
He said it came naturally to him.
That's right. And he also said that is what he would want someone to do for him if she loved him. He was doing those things for you and with you because in his mind, that's the way someone shows love. Once you were married and living in your own house, he had expectations of what you would do if you loved him. You would keep the house clean, you would cook, and so on. In brief, you would do things for him to express your love. When he did not see you doing those things, do you understand why he would feel unloved? Mary's head was also bobbing now. I continued, my guess is that the reason you both are so unhappy in your marriage is that neither of you is showing your love by doing things for each other. Mary and Mark agreed, though each tried to explain why he or she had stopped. But the real issue was, did they want to change? They both agreed they did. So there on the steps of the church, I asked each of them to complete a request list. They listed three or four things that if the other did, they would feel loved. After 5 or 6 minutes, they handed me their list. Mark's list read, 1, make up the beds every day. 2, have the baby's face washed when I get home. 3, put her shoes in the closet before I get home. 4, try to have supper at least started before I get home so that we could eat within 30 to 45 minutes after I get home. I read the list out loud and said to Mark, I'm understanding you to say that if Mary chooses to do these four things, you will view them as acts of love towards you. He said, that's right. If she did those four things, it would go a long way in changing my attitude toward her. Then I read Mary's list. 1, I wish she would wash the car every week instead of expecting me to do it. 2, I wish he would change the baby's diaper after he gets home in the afternoon, especially if I'm working on supper. 3. I wish he would vacuum the house for me once a week. 4. I wish he would mow the grass every week in the summer and not let it get so tall that I'm ashamed of our yard. I first asked Mark, then Mary, whether the list of things to do seemed reasonable. Both agreed. Then I turned to Mark. Mark, you understand that you don't have to do these things. If you do them, however, it will be an act of love to Mary. Then I turned to Mary and said, you understand that you don't have to do these things, but if you want to express love for Mark, here are 4 ways that will be meaningful to him. I want to suggest that you try these for 2 months and just see if they help. At the end of 2 months, you may want to add additional requests to your list and share them with each other. I would not add more than 1 request per month, however. They agreed that morning, and I watched as they took each other by the hand and walked toward their car. I said to myself out loud, I think this is what church is all about. I think I'm going to enjoy being a counselor. I've never forgotten the insight I gained under that chinaberry tree. After years of research, I have realized what a unique situation Mark and Mary presented to me. Seldom do I meet a couple who both have the same love language. For both Mark and Mary, acts of service was their primary love language. Hundreds of individuals can identify with either Mark or Mary and acknowledge that the primary way that they feel loved is by acts of service on the part of their spouse. Putting away shoes, changing a baby's diaper, washing dishes or a car, vacuuming, or mowing speaks volumes to the individuals whose primary love language is acts of service. You may be wondering, if Mark and Mary had the same primary language, why were they having so much difficulty? The answer lies in the fact that they were speaking different dialects. They were doing things for each other, but not the most important things. When they were forced to think concretely, they easily identified their specific dialects. For Mary, it was washing the car, changing the baby's diaper, vacuuming the floor, and mowing the grass. Whereas for Mark, it was making up the bed, washing the baby's face, putting the shoes in the closet, and having supper underway when he got home from work. When they started speaking the right dialects, their love tanks began to fill. Since acts of service was their primary love language, learning each other's specific dialect was relatively easy for them. There's one final love language, and maybe you or your spouse speaks it. Let's move to love language number 5, physical touch.
This is the end of Disc 2. The program continues on Disc 3.